Good afternoon and welcome to Folk and Acoustic Music. My name is Michael Stock, here every Sunday afternoon on 91.3 WLRN, also on 91.5 WKWM in the Florida Keys. Opening up the program, new music from Tim May and Steve Smith. Tim May on guitar, Steve Smith on mandolin. And what we just listened to was an original tune by Steve Smith called Washboard Road. I'll be featuring some more new music, some old music, some classic folk music, and guests in the studio later on today. Brian Smalley. In the final hour following the public storyteller at 4 o'clock will be Sunhand here in the studio. But right now, welcoming Bob Lind back to the studio. And hey, Bob.
Yeah, it's been a while. How you doing?
It's been a while. It's been a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And you spent some time retired.
Yeah.
Out of music. And
it's such a euphemism. I was just in full retreat from the music business.
Why? Why did you take that retreat?
Well, the same reason. You know, I just saw an interview with Bill Withers, and I recognized some of the same things. Bill Withers left for good. I couldn't do that. You know, the same juvenile, infantile reasons that a lot of people leave the music business or get mad at the music business. It's a cold business, as you know. It has all the warmth of the music gets lost among the lawyers and suits who run it. But the thing is that most artists have the guts to stick it out. I didn't. I just, you know, drugs and alcohol, of course, had a lot to do with it.
Most artists don't have the success you had either.
Yeah.
You had The Elusive Butterfly was sung by everyone from Dolly Parton to Richie Havens, Eric Clapton, Cher.
Well, that's not exactly. There are 200 covers in my songs, most of them by body of work.
Okay.
Most of them have been from Elusive Butterfly. Yeah. And I like the sound of that. I sound like a star. Why don't you say more about me?
Well, no, but so you reached a level of success there. Were you unable to achieve, maintain that level?
Oh, that never bothered me. That's never meant anything to me. I mean, I know that sounds like such jive, but it's the truth. I never, you know, people call me now, and it's somewhat of a sarcastic way, a one-hit wonder, you know. The wonder is that I had any hits at all. I wasn't looking for that kind of career. I wanted to be appreciated for a body of work, and that's happening now. It's happened since. But at the time, I wasn't looking for all that pop star stuff. I mean, it's heady. It gets you into places. It gets you laid. But it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to, you know, at the time, there were people like Judy Collins, Joan Baez, Phil Oakes, Dylan then, where these people didn't have hits. They had no hits at all. But they were able to fill auditoriums of 800, 1,000 people or whatever. And they got to do it all over America, you know. And that's the kind of career I was looking for. So it wasn't, no, I wasn't disappointed because I couldn't achieve that level of stardom. You know?
What brought you back to the music business?
I couldn't stand not doing it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't stand not playing. That's what it is. It's more than writing or recording. I still don't like recording. We can talk about that later, my relationship with recording. But I don't like the way I feel when I don't get in front of audiences. That's what I love to do, you know. And we were talking earlier before the show, you and I, about showmanship. There's a common thing, I think, among folk venues where I see a lot of this. Great musicians, people who can play 50 times the guitar that I can play, who don't have any sense of showmanship. And I don't know why that is. I think that sometimes if you perform, if you present your music, you're looked at as kind of this Vegas slick, you know. Even in South Florida, there are exceptions, you know. I mean, Amy Carroll Webb is a really good example. You know, there's somebody who gives a show. She when she performs, she has showmanship. And it doesn't bite into the content of what she's saying one iota, you know. Marie Knopfsinger, you know, she's hot. She knows she's hot. She dresses sexy. And yet it doesn't take away from what she's doing.
Do you think the word folk music or just that genre leads to the non-pop aspect?
I think so, part of it. But I remember that when I was coming up, if you will, I would go see Lightnin' Hopkins, Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee, Josh White, and these people performed. They respected their audience. See, this is probably just a personal thing. Performing to me, and I know how precious this sounds, is a sacred calling, man. I love my audiences. It's as close to a religious sense that I get, you know, with the exception of my honey here. You know, I think it's the closest I come to love. And it's a, I love to put it out, and I love to get it back. I love that feeling. And so I have a lot of respect for my audiences.
I have to ask this question because we mentioned earlier that you've been clean and sober now for how many years?
38.
30 years? So does that make a difference in your performance?
Oh, sure. Sure it does. Sure it does. And you know what? Here's one of the dangers of drugs and alcohol. It makes you feel like you're doing something you're not. It makes you feel like you were really knocking dead. And yet there's this filmy distance between you and the audience. Without drugs and alcohol, and it took a while to get used to it, get the hang of it, if you will. But the thing is it, no, it's so much better now.
Why?
Oh, it's because of that intimacy that you can get.
I see, yeah. When did you start performing again?
Arlo Guthrie asked me to do the Guthrie Center in 2004. Arlo and Jackie, you know, and his wife and a dear friend of mine for a long time, asked me to do the Guthrie Center. And there was a venue that I wanted to do. The venues that I was getting asked to play were like oldies shows, and I don't like those kind of
the
things.
The one-hit wonder fellows.
Yeah, or it sometimes some of them had like Dion, you know. Dion does it, and I understand. I wouldn't trade careers with Dion. I'd trade money with him. but as far as Dion has to do certain things or the audiences will lynch him. He has to do Run Around Sue, you know. He has to do Don't Know Why and all those things because he has built that, you know. I'm fortunate. Most of the people who appreciate me appreciate, there's that word again, body of work. They understand, and it's more true in Europe than it is in America, where you can be respected as an artist and people will come to hear you for what you're doing now. I say this a lot, but it's true. I think my career is closer to like a stand-up comedy guy than a pop star because, you know, Paul McCartney does his same Beatles and McCartney, you know, Band on the Run stuff, exactly the same arrangement every time he plays it because that's what people want to hear. Stand-up comedians, people come to hear them they don't want to hear the same material that they heard before. They want to hear, what's he going to say? What's he going to do now? I like his mind. I'm interested in his art. So whatever he does is going to be of interest to me, or it's not. You know, that's the chance you always take.
When you say that, it reminds me of festivals. And when you go to a festival, you see an artist on stage for 10, 15 minutes, and you don't get to know an artist that way.
You don't.
You have to be, yeah, it takes an hour to hear the body of work. I hear what you're saying.
And you know, when I say, for instance, in England, I do Elusive Butterfly everywhere I play. I want that clear. You know, we'll talk about the concert that's coming up in a minute. But the point is, I do it every time I play. But I don't do it the same way as I always did it. Wouldn't that be boring? I mean, wouldn't you be to hear? For me, it would. But I also do new things. And I don't know all the time what I'm going to play when I get on stage.
Bob Lind is here in the studio, and he will be the feature performer this Saturday night when the Folk Club of South Florida presents their monthly concert at the Luna Star Cafe. And, let's hear a song, Bob.
Right, okay. Yeah. And one thing we can say about that, I have a great opening act to John Blosser, who was on your show.
Oh, John.
Not long
oh, I
ago.
Forgot to pull his song out. Sure. Yeah. He's a champion dulcimer player.
That's what they say. I haven't heard him.
Oh, he's
but
great.
But everybody says that he. And so I've got a great opening act. It's a great night. And okay, I'll play you a song.
All right, what do you want to start off with?
Let's start off with a song called The Thunder of Goodbye. When she's gone, before it reaches your awareness, you may be cavalier and careless, but at the colding of the day, that brittle pride will break away. And at night, when the rain is at your window, you will finally begin to know the thunder of goodbye. When she leaves, the things you didn't say will haunt you, watching the days when she used to want you, drifting out beyond your reach, like the sunset from the beach. In every room, there'll be regrets and empty spaces. You will find no sheltered places from the thunder of goodbye. Fools can never see it when it's there, and then they find a strand of hair, a trace of perfume in the air, the indentation in a chair. Fools don't see the constant and the true, don't see the sunlight shining through, don't feel the storm begin to brew, until there's nothing they can do. When she goes, you'll know how much is gone forever. Stitches that held your heart together, the very sun that lit your sky, has left the best of you to die. Through the night, the kitchen light will just keep burning, as if to guide her safe returning. When the morning meets your eyes, you'll have to face yourself and try to take the thunder of goodbye.
Bob Lynn in the WLRN studio. What a sad song.
I guess, yeah. I call it a cautionary tale, but yes.
Okay. You, Bob Lynn's going to be playing at the Luna Star Cafe with John Blosser, opening the show this Saturday night. You live now in Florida, in Palm Beach.
Boca Raton, yes.
And this past year, you were inducted into the Colorado Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I cut my musical teeth.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you lived? Is that where you're from?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. That's where I started out. Mm-hmm. Certainly started out with music in Denver, yeah.
You were inducted along with Judy Collins, who also started in Denver.
Yeah.
I know her story,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah.
Did you both perform at the ceremony?
Yes, we did, and I get to stand on stage and play sing Amazing Grace with her.
How did that come about? How did they?
Well, because I'm such a big star.
Well, Judy's been,
say that.
Judy's been performing all these years.
Yeah, you know?
And I imagine it's tough for her because her voice is her instrument. So I guess when the older you get, it's more difficult to maintain that.
I don't know if it is or not. I mean, it is today. I can feel all this raspiness. But the thing is that, you know, I guess there comes a point where, yes, the chops give out. But I feel like most people, if they continue to do any art, whether it's singing or what it is, they get better at it. But it was such mm-hmm. a joy to me because, Judy Collins was one of my idols coming up. You know?
You've met her before.
I know. This was the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I learned songs off her record. And it was held at the Paramount Theater when, as a 20, 21, 22-year-old kid, I saw the Beatles movie. It used to be a movie theater. Uh-huh. And there I was, you know, I sat in the balcony and watched the Beatles, you know, Hard Day's Night. And here I am on the stage with Judy Collins. It was, yeah. And there's a downside of it, though. Here's the bad side of being inducted into a Hall of Fame. There's an implication there. It happens mostly in athletics. You know, a guy pitched the no-hitter, win the World Series 30 years ago. And he's been telling the same story for, you know, in rotary clubs and bars and for years. And look at what it used to be, how it used to be. Well, it doesn't have to be that way in music. See, the thing is if you hear that somebody's in the Hall of Fame, you say, oh, yeah, well, they used to be something. Well, I don't like to think of myself that way. You know, I kid myself. We were talking about being a star. You know, I'm not a star. I should be. I have all the attributes of a star. I have all the star qualities.
Well, you don't get frustrated.
Self-important and grandiose.
The frustration's not there anymore?
No. What I'm saying is that you know, as we talked about before, I have a small cadre of fans now. You know, the statute of limitations on stardom has worn off over the last 49 years, you know, since Elusive Butterfly. But there are people who do respect my work, and I it's obviously a much smaller crowd now. But it's more intimate. The herd has been thinned. You know, there are people who like me now not because of any kind of glitz or any kind of you know.
Well, it seems to me your career is pretty. Your music career has been pretty steady, and you're traveling. How far are you traveling with your music these days?
Yeah, England, Spain.
That's
you know,
incredible.
Canada. Miami.
Do you book your own shows?
No. I have a very good manager, Jill. Okay. Jill Guerra manages me and has managed to get me some really good gigs.
So what's the big difference between your music career now and your music career 20, 30
money.
Years ago?
Money.
You're making more money then. Yeah.
There you go, man. Yes. You know, I understand suffering for one's art, but, you know, my house is in foreclosure. I can't pay my bills, you know. I'm respected, but I think I'd sell a little of that respect if I could just get a little bit more money.
Is songwriting still come easy to you?
No. Songwriting is right now. I haven't written a song for a year. But I've had longer periods of dryness in that. I have a lot of material now. And I think my writing, now let me say this, this is important. I think my writing, my later songs are much better than my early songs.
I mean, from the past 10 years.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Those songs are all better than the songs that I wrote when I was famous.
So how is it that the songs you wrote back then are covered by many more artists, are much more popular than your songs now?
That's a mystery to me, Mike. I have no idea why certain songs of mine get recorded, certain artists choose to do them, you know? But that's what I love about this incredible singer-songwriter thing. I love to hear a singer do a song of mine and do it in a completely different way than I do it or than when I've written it.
Do you have a favorite of another's cover?
I think I do. I know they're supposed to be like children, you know. And some of my children are brats, and they run up in the wrong crowd. But I think my favorite cover, and I don't know why except that it's Richie Havens. Richie Havens did a song of mine called How the Nights Can Fly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess it's hard for me to be objective, but, you know, I'll put it this way. If the Vatican made little plastic statues of Richie Havens, I would have one on my dashboard. I think he's the best interpreter of songs that I've ever heard.
And I loved his guitar playing style. Nobody has replicated it since, you know?
I know. Yeah, and an incredible right hand and that, you know, open tuning.
Yeah. Richie, do you have any songs that someone covered that you don't like?
Well, you know, I'll tell you again, we're talking about objectivity. I have one, For one thing, anybody who would choose to do one of my songs gets points. You know, I admire their taste. That's the okay. first thing. Secondly, I'm just so honored. You know, let's face it, a CD can fit maybe 12, 15 songs in a CD. And there's all this body of work. Most artists now are writing their own. There's all these kind of people, you know, Neil Sedaka's still stuff, Lennon McCartney, and all. This somebody would choose to write it. But there are people that don't quite understand why they did it. Aretha Franklin, there's not a better soul singer ever born. Why she chose to do Elusive Butterfly, I don't know. I think it was one of those, come on, Aretha, let's show her that you can handle the classics too. Well, it doesn't quite work to me, you know. Don't okay. be concerned, why it won't harm you.
That's funny. Bob Lind is here, and he's going to be in concert Saturday night at Luna Star Cafe, a show sponsored by the Folk Club of South Florida. John Blosser, champion dulcimer player, is going to be there as well, opening up the show. And you're still making albums.
Yeah.
You have your most recent is Finding You Again, and you're in the studio now?
Yes. See, and that's the good thing about it is that I'm getting to, you know, put more material out, but I do not enjoy recording very much. And now I'm producing myself.
Why don't you enjoy recording?
First of all, I don't have the patience for it. I don't have the ear for it, you know.
So you hire a producer who tells you...
Well, up until now, Jamie Hoover, great, brilliant producer, produced that album and has produced most of the songs on the album that I'm doing now. Nothing lasts forever, you know. I mean, you can call it creative differences. I guess that's a euphemism. But Jamie and I can no longer work together. Well, it's forced me to produce my own things, and I've produced two songs so far. And
what's so hard about producing?
Well, what's hard about it is, as I say, here's the hard part is that I don't have that ear. I don't have, you know. Sometimes, you know, like a good producer will catch little things and they'll move. They'll say, okay, you know, I think the mandolin might not work here, you know, or whatever. I, on the other hand, I'm just interested in the emotion of the song. I'm not good with sound. But on the other hand, since Jamie and I have sort of parted company, you know, with the story about one door opening, closing, and the other one opening, I fill in with this incredible engineer. You know Rat Bastard?
Sure.
You know, yeah, okay. My manager and I were looking for studios because I'm on a limited budget, you know. And we looked into all these studios, and they were all, I won't say overpriced. I'm sure that these people were asking a reasonable price, but she asked this guy. I'd never heard of him. I had no idea who he was. And she said, how much would you charge? He said, for Bob Lind, free. You
know, wow.
So I had no idea. So I looked at for this guy. I said, he's a Bob Lind fan? He says, yes, he loves your material. And I said, this is the guy who produced Marilyn Manson. He has these, you know, these noise
festivals.
Yeah. And I said, what in the world? He likes my music? It's very hard to imagine. But when I met him, I understood this guy is mad. He's totally mad. Everything is music with him. You know, there's not a time when he's on and when he's off.
I believe he does the sound over at Churchill's.
That's right.
Yeah,
right. So I thought, well, okay, well, any guy with an ego as big as mine, where there's going to be conflicts. But sure enough, he was is absolutely helpful to me, did not give me any grief at all, helped me get some really good sound out of what we're doing now. And and also, you know, I've fallen in with some good musicians, local musicians. There's the house band at the Luna Star, you know. I'm absolutely ripping these guys off. I'm stealing from them. I'm not paying them one quarter of what they're worth, and yet they love my music and they're willing to do it.
Bob Lind is here. And your new album, when is it? Any timelines?
No, there's no. It's probably first the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Lind is here. How about another tune?
Sure.
Thank you.
Am I on? Am I on camera? How am I looking?
Check out the YouTube channel.
I'm not a complicated man. I'm not that hard to understand. I need what everybody needs. Down in my simple soul, I bleed for what the world is yearning for. Someone to adore. Someone to adore. The song that swells in every beating human heart. Theme that throbs in every classic work of art. The drive that draws a man to churches and to whores. Someone to adore. Somewhere a man is on his knees. His wife is dying by degrees. He calls to God and tries to trust. As another woman stirs his lust, he hates his weakness to the core. For someone to adore. Someone to adore. He can't believe his prayers for healing coexist. Dark desires to feel a stranger's vibrant kiss. The roots are twisted, but the limbs are stretching toward someone to adore. Primal and constant, the infinite streams find the shore. The source of perfect peace, the cause of every savage war. Someone to adore. Last night I woke in the waning moon. I felt my mother in the room. She said the world must hear your voice. Don't be afraid, you have a choice in how you open up the door for someone to adore. Someone to adore. And so I sing tonight. My hands are reaching out. Out through the walls and past the jagged rocks of doubt. Beyond my limits, I can feel my spirit soar. With someone to adore.
Bob Lind, live in the WLRN studio. I love that song. It's about finding passion in life. And
thank you.
Is that a difficult thing for you to do?
To what, Fine Passion?
Fine Passion, having, I mean, you said being on stage, that's what you really work for.
Yeah, that's what I love, yes.
That's what you, and so that's what, is that what you think of when you're writing songs?
Yes, yeah, always. I very rarely write for other artists, even though, you know, there's 200 covers of my stuff. That's incidental. I wrote a song for Cher that she recorded. This mm-hmm. is, you know, and other than that, I can't remember really saying that.
Right, yeah, so you wrote a song specifically for, you didn't yeah. meet Cher though.
Yeah, we knew each other, Sonny and Cher, back when she was with Sonny.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, sure. Cher was the second person to record one of my songs. The Turtles were first. They did a song called Down in Suburbia. But this is even before Lucid Butterfly. This was when I had first signed with Metric Music, which is the publishing arm of Liberty Records, you know, World Pacific. But what a great person she is.
Yeah. So that was the only person you wrote a song for. Otherwise, the songs you write are, you imagine yourself singing
them on
stage.
Yeah, you said it. Exactly right. Exactly. That's what I, when I'm writing, that's what I say. I want to convey this. And it's wonderful when somebody else does it, you know. I'll give you an example of what we were talking about before about people surprising me. There's this guy named, I always forget his name. John Otway. He's a Brit, you know, a punk rocker. And he covered a song of mine called Cheryl's Going Home, which is one of my most covered songs. And I had a friend who he did it in a movie called, I can't remember the movie, but it was all about punk, a Music War is the mm-hmm. name of it. And he said, I have this. He says, a guy does your song. And I said, oh, great. You know, he said, look, can I borrow the, there was a video then. I said, can I borrow the video? No, I don't think you want to see it. You know? And I said, oh, come on, let me see. Finally, I twisted his arm, let me see it, and let me hear it. And it was, the guy does it in this a completely different way. He does somersaults on stage. He does this rap in the middle of it. I love it. It's absolutely completely different from the way I do it. But I think that's that's the beautiful thing about songs and other people doing them. You know, the fact that I do write for myself, you know, to sing, doesn't stop the fact that there are other people. It's great that other people can express their art through something that I created. I love that.
I was talking to a musician, a songwriter, a couple of weeks ago, and I said, why are you doing this? Because with the way to get music now, Spotify and iTunes, most of it's free. You can just find it on YouTube or
Shut up.
That's what I'm saying. People who make music money now in music, it's because of the movies and TV. That's how they have to try to sell their music.
I don't know what the trick is. If you find it out, let me know. Maybe that's it. But yeah, we are getting ripped off, you know. But the thing is that there's another joy. You know, I was talking to
Brian
out there in the green room. We were both talking about that, about, you know, we can complain the fact that the music industry is ripping us off, and they are sharks. They are vicious.
Someone's making money, but it's not the artists.
Yeah, but the point is that when you here's the half full glass. We're getting paid to do something we would pay other people to do. I mean, you know, this thing that I'm doing on Saturday, I'm not doing it for the money, that's for sure. Don't get me wrong, they're not ripping me off. They're paying me what they can afford. But I'm doing it because I can't get on the road right now, and I love to perform. And I have to rethink of it that way. Otherwise, I'll slash my wrists.
I know you're working on your album. Do you have any tours planned?
No, not right now. But that's what we put everything on hold so I can stay and finish the album. So.
Well, you were kind enough to bring one of the songs that's going to be featured.
All right, I'll tell you the story on this album.
Okay.
This is the only song on my album that's a cover. This is the only song on the album that I did not write. This is a song by a guy who is I don't have to tell you, Tom Paxton.
Oh, sure.
Wrote this. But I always say this, you know, just as I was talking to you before about people bringing something. I won't record a song unless I feel I can bring something to it that somebody else hasn't brought. I first heard this song in 1964, I think. It was a group in a Denver club called the Exodus, and they were the striped shirt groups, you know, where there's the
college kids.
Yeah, and they sang around, and they sang this song with this bright, happy-go-lucky, fun And I said to myself, are they listening to the words they're saying? I said to myself, certainly the guy who wrote this doesn't do it that way. And then I heard Tom Paxton. He does it as a fun-loving sing-along. Judy Collins does it. The Kingston Trio do it. And I say to myself, I don't think... I said this to Tom Paxton. I told him, I said, I seem to be the only one who thinks this is a sad song. And what, he laughed.
Did you see him when he was performing
here? Yeah, that's when we talked to him. I talked to him about it, you know. And he laughed. Well, I don't think it's a happy-go-lucky song. I think it's a sad song. So that's what you're going to hear.
All right, well, let's hear it right now.
Okay.
Here is from the yet upcoming, to be named.
Is no, it's gonna, name the album is going to be called Magellan Was Wrong.
Here is Bob Lind.
Rambling around this dirty old town, singing for nickels and dimes. Times get tough, I don't have enough to buy a little bottle of wine. Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get sober? Leave me alone. Go home. Let me go back and start over. Little hotel, older than hell. As dark and as cold as the mines. Blankets so thin, I just lay here and grin. I got a little bottle of wine. Bottle of wine, fruit of the vine. When you gonna let me get so? Leave me alone, let me go home. Let me go back and start over. My bed, pain in my head. These pants are so old, they got that threadbare shine on them. Out on the street, ask the people I meet, buy me a bottle of wine. You know, teachers can teach, miners can dig in the mines. I ride the rods, trusting in God, holding my, hugging my. clinging to mine.
Bob Lind with Bottle of Wine by Tom Paxton. I would not have recognized that song. And you're right. It's glorifying alcohol, and it's not a happy song. That's funny.
Well, you know, that's the thing that makes the horse race. So a lot of people love it that way. I just got to do it the way I feel it.
Yeah. And that's going to be to the yet-released album by Bob Lind called Magellan Was Wrong. And Bob, thank you so much for coming by.
Mike, thank you, man. It's always a joy. It's been too long. Let's do it sooner.
Yes. Bob Lind's going to be in concert this Saturday night with John Blosser opening at the Lunar Star Cafe, part of the Folk Club of South Florida's monthly series.